Tonight we continue with our studies on the final state of man, or the end of man, as we started some weeks before. And let me just read to you a verse, then we'll look at that verse again as we continue. Luke chapter 23. Verse 42 to 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And as I said, we'll continue with our study on the final state of man. And as I always repeat, what has God's word said about this? The various aspects of the end of man. The Bible has a lot to say. Last week we learned about the immortality of the soul, the immortality of the human soul. And we learned the differences in the human soul and other souls, especially animals and other creatures. And we learned that the Bible teaches that our souls do not cease to exist when we die, and that the souls of men live on. And as we have read before from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it's where it says that when we come to die, the spirit goes back to God, and the dust returns to the dust, which tells us of the two aspects or the two parts of the of man. And as we have looked at the immortality of the soul, this brings us also to our subject tonight, and that is, where are the souls of the dead now? When people come to die, we have learned that their souls, human souls, are immortal. So where do they go to? Where are their states? Where do they stay? How does the Bible speak about that state? So this will be like the fourth part of our series of the final state of man. Often, many have wondered about the souls of their departed relations, and it's a question which is being asked often. And apart from the scripture, I don't know any religion that can give you any solid answer. There's no solid answer to these things, and then men are left to hopelessness. But then, to this question, when people will ask about the souls of their departed relations, the first thing we have to learn that as Christ is the one from whom all heavenly blessings are bestowed on us, on God's children, it is also that where a person goes after death, his soul after death depends on what relation such a person has with Christ before exiting this life. So that where a person, the soul of the person will go after this life depends on his relationship with Christ. Did he live in Christ? Was he a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he saved? Was he converted? Was he given that assurance of God's children? Was he born again? And did he live for Christ? That's the questions. You know, often, and normally in African traditional religion, we believe that when people die, they go elsewhere to live, which they are not able to specify. But at least they have the notion that when people die, they go on to live, and they even try to lift that as if those who die have become superhumans, and they are so powerful to do and help people and bless and all that, which is totally out of the way. But then, as I said, it's only our relationship with Christ that really determines where we go. So that, as I said, all other ideas doesn't really give us, the true aspect of the soul, or the place where the soul actually dwells. They are not able to give us the proper answers. But as I said, the Bible is clear about this. And the Bible is clear about this. Where souls of the dead enter after death. The Bible is very clear about this. And then I think in Ephesians 1:3, Apostle Paul tells us, as I said, in connection with the souls of the dead that exit this world, and it has to do with their relationship with Christ. If they have a better place to go or not, it depends on their relationship with Christ. And as I said also, that all our blessings from God, all heavenly blessings are through Christ. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, we are so blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So for believers, our blessings from heaven and all that we can have from Christ through his death on the cross of Calvary, when he died on our behalf, so that those who come to him in repentance and know that he saves, their blessings includes where their soul goes after they exit this life. So, to move on, the Bible teaches that as soon as people depart out of this world, the soul of the saved and the unsaved immediately enters into a separate state of happiness or misery. It's a teaching of Scripture that when people die, there are two places that their souls enter immediately. Either rest or happiness, either a place of misery, a place of torment or happiness. And this is a state which is before the final judgment. This is a state that they come into before the day of final judgment, where people are finally positioned in their places to either for eternal happiness or eternal torment. But this is the immediate state, the intermediate state of the dead. So, as I said, the Bible teaches this. So, and the souls of the unsaved are sent down to hell. The Bible also says that while the saved enter into rest and happiness, which is, we call it the paradise of Christ, a heavenly place. That's where the souls of the saved goes to. It's the place of rest and happiness. And the souls of the unsaved are sent down to hell, a place of torment. Immediately they die. The body is led into the grave, but the souls enter. But the souls don't die. They are kept in a place. And the place, the Bible tells us, because we are going to look at how the Bible speaks, the terms and the verses which speak about these things. But I'm just giving us at least the definitions of these things. So, to move forward, we'll first speak about the souls of sinners that enters into torment of hell immediately after death. We'll look at the state of sinners first, and then we'll move on to the souls of believers that enter into rest and happiness in the paradise of Christ, in that heavenly place, a place where the Bible describes as the place for the blessed, and it's a place that Christ himself has prepared for us. And if we are believers in Christ, one of our privileges to believe in Christ is not merely to die and wait for the day. If we die in Christ, it's not that we wait for the day of resurrection where those who are saved will go to heaven and those who are sinners will be punished forever. No. Immediately we die, there's a blessedness. There's something to enjoy. Because the believer's life is a life of blessedness, happiness, in this life and in the life to come. And that it continues. It doesn't cease. It's a life we are giving on. We are giving eternal life, and it doesn't cease. That life that Christ gives us doesn't cease with the grave. So we look at the immediate entrance to hell of souls of sinners after death. Okay, so in the Old Testament, we start from there. Hell. The word hell, the Hebrew has a word called Sheol. That's the word that was commonly translated as hell in the Old Testament. It's called Sheol. And it was understood that this word means the unseen world of the spirit of the dead, the place where the dead spirits are. I mean, that's how the general understanding of the word means, the unseen world of the spirit of the dead. And as we have in Psalm 16, verse 10, this was a prophecy of about Christ's soul in death. I mean, it was a prophecy. It was David who said, but it was a prophecy because it was later quoted in Acts. It was a prophecy that about Christ, when he dies, his soul. And here, the word that was used the verse goes like this: For thou will not leave my soul in hell, and neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Also, the hell here is the word Sheol, that thou will not leave my soul in hell. So it's talking about that the soul of Christ will not remain in the place, the place where the spirits of the dead are, because there's a place they are. If there's no place like that, the Bible will not say, thou will not leave my soul in hell. This is not his body, you see. And neither would thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Here is connected with his physical body, which didn't decay before he rose from the dead. But then, the first part, thou will not leave my soul in hell. That Christ, when he dies, his soul went to hell, not as a place of torment. We see the word, because here the word was used generally as a place of spirit of the dead, and it didn't show the distinction where there's torment or not torment, but just the place of the dead. Also, in many passages in the Old Testament, Sheol is also rendered as the grave or the pit, as the place of the dead. It's also rendered as the grave or the pit, as we have in Genesis 37, verse 35. About the death of when they told him that Joseph had died, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down to the grave, that is Sheol, unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. So said that he go down to Sheol, the grave. So here the word is used as grave, before it was used as hell. Here Sheol, by the same word Sheol, which implies the place where the spirit of the dead are. And also we have in Job 17:16, "They shall go down to the baths of the pit." This is Sheol, when our rest together is seen at that. So you see the same word, but the English translation use the word hell. But then at hell, grave, and a pit, but it's the same word Sheol, which they apply in the various places. So in all, it is showing the place of the dead. And sometimes just shows, like the grave or where we bury the dead. It's a picture, or it shows where they are, but not the souls of the dead are not in the physical grave as we see, but they use the word to show where they are. Okay, so that's the Old Testament. However, in the Old Testament, again, this word "show" was used to indicate the place consigned for the souls of sinners after death. You see, the same word that was used as a grave and as a place, a pit, and also the grave, and generally the sin world of the dead spirit, of the spirit of the dead, it was also used as a place consigned for the souls of sinners after death. We have in Psalm 9, verse 17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, will be turned to Sheol, and all the nations that forget God." You see here, hell implies a place of torment. Sheol here is shown as a place of torment. So it is also a place, it gives us the idea that when the word Sheol, which was translated hell or grave, whatever, hell has, maybe departments or divisions and all that, because the wicked shall be turned to hell. Both righteous and the wicked dies. So here it's not referring to just the death of general death. It's referring to the death of wicked. They will be turned to hell, a place where only they will be turned to, not the righteous. So it tells us that, and we know from scripture that it's a place of torment, and it is said to sinners, and all the nations that forget God. This is a kind of a word of a warning to the sinners, and so that they will be turned into hell. So here it implies a place of torment, not the general idea of Sheol, where it is general where the spirits of the dead goes, where we are told by Christ said, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell." Christ was not referring to this part of Sheol where the wicked are sent into. And also it gives us the idea that the godly people in the old didn't go to this place, part of Sheol, where wicked are sent into. Because here we are told that it's only the wicked, they shall be turned into hell, this part of hell, and all the nations that forget God. Meaning there's other place where those who are God's people, who are who live for God, who became God's people, also enter. Yes, but they are all the place of which we call show, which is the place of the departed souls of the dead. So that is the idea here. So, and especially this particular indication of show, where it is seen as a place of torment, it is in this sense that the word hell was used in the New Testament. Mostly, it was in this sense the hell, the word hell was used. In the New Testament, we have a clearer view. I mean, the separation was set clear, and there was so much proper. I mean, there was so clear references where we can really see that the this place where the wicked goes was typically the hell, which we see as part of show in general. So, in the New Testament, as I said, this hell in the word hell in the New Testament was used in this sense. Well, except, I think the same verse where we have Peter quoting the words of Psalm 16 verse 10 about the death of Christ, and who, where he said that Christ, his soul did not go to, his soul was not left in hell. He repeated, but the word that was used had the same meaning at that place, like the show we have here. So, we have this idea that the dead, the soul of the dead, has a place to go, and we also have this idea that they go immediately after death. And this is before the day of the final judgment. Before the day of the final judgment. So, in the New Testament, we have this idea. So, we look at the New Testament also, and how the idea is developed, and the way that I use. Why am I going on with this? Because especially this, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will tell you, oh, the word hell means a pit. The word hell means that, well, it was the same word that was translated as a grave. So it doesn't mean that it's any place that any spirit dwells. But if you look at how the Bible is using the words here, if you look at it critically, you see that it's a place. The Bible doesn't just use the word the show, just a pit or a grave, like where we dig and we put in the bodies of the dead. But rather refer, because the word show itself, the word show without being, the word show, if even is not used in the Bible, generally, it is believed to be the place of the spirit of the dead, where the spirit of the dead dwells. But in scripture, it is used in these various ways to explain to us what it means, what the Bible speaks about a hell or the departed souls, where they are, and all that. So basically, as I said, this place of torment was where the idea of hell in the New Testament typically refers to. But in the New Testament, there are three words translated as hell. There are three words. Hades. Hades is almost like that of Sheol. Hades, the Greek word Hades. And the word Hades means the invisible place of departed spirit generally. It has that idea in the Greek. That's how they use, when they want to refer to the place of where the dead are, their souls are, they call it Hades. And they have so many mythologies about this, myths about this Hades and all that. But that's how they see that the word was understood. So it is also, as I said, in Acts 2:27, it was used by Peter quoting Psalm 16 verse 10, when he used the word that thou will not leave my soul in hell, referring to Christ. So it was used generally as the place where the spirit of the dead goes, like in the Old Testament, where it was also used in reference to Christ the same way. But so at that place there was no distinction. It was used as hell. Christ went to hell. Let me just read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Because thou will not, quoting from David, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither would thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. So quoting from Psalms, and here it's talking about, thou will not leave my soul in hell. And so here in the Old Testament it was Hades, it was Sheol, but in the New Testament it's Hades, which also refers to hell here. And generally here it implies the place of departed spirits, generally, without distinction of the good or the bad, whatever. But the same word Hades is also used as a temporal abode of the souls of sinners immediately they depart. So it goes also like the show how it was used generally for the place of the spirit of the dead, but yet it was also used to show the extension of the spirit of the dead. So the same, so the Hades here was used as the temporal abode of the souls of sinners immediately they depart out of this life. And this, we have this idea from the Luke chapter 16, that account just Christ gave. Some say it's parable, some say it's not parable, but we see as a parable. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 to 23. The whole narrative begins from verse 19, where Christ speaks of a certain rich man who was well fed and living well. He died, and there was a poor man called Lazarus also, he died. And we are told that from verse 22, well, that's where I want to dwell. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You see here, Lazarus was, we were not told Lazarus went into hell. But in speaking of what they all died, they all there, and this part is referring to their souls, their spirit that left their bodies. Because here it is speaking about their immediate place they went after they died, and their bodies didn't go to any place, their bodies were buried. So here it is in reference to their souls. But in reference to Lazarus, we're not told that he went to hell. But in reference to the rich man, we are told that, and in hell, he lived, here is the same word, Hades. He lifted up his eye, being in torment. So here, Hades, which we had first used as a general place of the spirit of the dead, is used as a place of torment for the sinner. It is used in reference to this rich sinner here. So that here also that the word Hades was used. But we are told that Lazarus went to a different place, that he was called the bosom of Abraham's bosom, which is connected to the paradise of Christ. But I'll comment on that paradise of Christ as we get to that place. But another word that was also used as hell in the New Testament is called Gehenna. Gehenna. And often this word has to do with place of eternal torment for sinners. The Hades of this rich man was the temporal, the immediate place sinners go. But Gehenna is often used to refer to the eternal torment, where after the resurrection, people finally will be cast from God forever. That's where the word Gehenna is used. But in the case of this rich man, we are told immediately he dies, he enters into this place. His soul, not within his body, his soul enters into that place. And this Gehenna was used here, Mark 9, 43-44. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. That is, to go into Gehenna, into the fire that never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So you see, here it's talking of eternal torment. And the word used here was Gehenna. But then the English is the same hell. And the word Gehenna was a word that was derived from a place called the Valley of Hinnom. In Israel, in Israel, there was a place called the Valley of Hinnom. In the worship of idolatry, they were told that they burned infants there in fire to their idols, I think Moloch or so. And always in reference to that place, and they coined the word Gehenna from that place. And it's, when they use the word Gehenna, it represents a place of punishment. And here it was used to refer to, whenever it is used in the New Testament, it refers to a place of eternal punishment, Gehenna. Though the original place was the Valley of Hinnom, because there was a burning. The later we were told that was when when godly kings come, they turn that place become a rubbish dump where it was dead animals and rubbish were burnt at the place. So it's like every day there was fire there burning. So it's like a picture. They picture it as a place of hell, but then in reality, Gehenna, hell, as here refers to a place of torment, where we are told that into fire that never shall be quenched. This has to do with hellfire, eternal hellfire, where there are worms, that is not worms that feed on those who are in hell that do not die, meaning that those who are there also never dies. Eternal torment. And the fire is not quenched. So, hell, as we have at Gehenna, is different from Hades, where immediately people get into that place when they die. Sinners get into that place when they die. But Gehenna is pictured as a place where there's a fire, eternal fire forever. Okay, the other verses, they all use the same hell, Gehenna, and also, as I've said. And another word that also was used in the New Testament referring to hell is Tartarus. Which in the Greek means the deepest abyss of Hades. Tartarus, the deepest abyss of Hades. And this has to do with the prison of evil spirits chained in darkness until the day of final judgment. And it was used only once, this word. It was used in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. These are the words of the verse. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Cast them down to Tartarus. It's not Gehenna, it's not Hades. Cast them down to hell. So here, they be cast down to a certain hell, and in the Greek, it's called the deepest abyss of Hades, a kind of form of hell. So here, to the word is used as hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So, meaning that these imprisoned spirits are waiting for the day of judgment. So here, too, is a intermediate state for this. Fallen angels. So, even this idea gives us that there's a world of spirits waiting for the final day of judgment. God, these spirits were having cast into prison. They are there. So, it should not be a surprise to us that the Bible have idea that when people, sinners also die, their souls goes to a particular place of torment, waiting for their final for the final day of judgment. Because in Revelation, we are told that hell originally it was made for Satan and his angels, and those who also sinned and live as sinners will be joined to them. So it means that for now these fallen angels are in a particular place in hell, and the sinners who die, their souls also go to a kind of torment separated somehow maybe from them. But the day of final judgment, because we are told that they were all cast into the lake of fire that never quenched itself. So these are the words that we have here, but they all refer hell. But for Gehenna, always the reference will be hellfire, hell, and they will add fire to Gehenna. But then Tartaro is, as I said, a place of the imprisoned spirit, it's seen as a dark place. I think Jude has a similar expression where he said that this the spirits that are imprisoned. They are in prison. They are bound in darkness. It's a kind of hell, a kind of place of unseen spirit, invisible to our eyes, but it's there, it's real. God, we have a realm of the spirit, which only God has power. God, He's the sovereign creator of all creatures. Whether angels or human, we are all creators of His Son. But as I've said, though this title refers to these fallen angels, which they are still there now, waiting for the day of final judgment. Yet Hades is the immediate place of torment that sinners enter after death until the day of final judgment, as I've explained about, as Christ taught in Luke chapter 16. Because some people will say, well, what Christ was teaching, maybe is unbelief. But whatever Christ taught, whatever the Bible teaches, that's how we draw lessons from about whatever we have to know about this life or the life to come. And the teaching of Christ in Luke 16 gives us clearly these two places where the wicked goes
and where also the godly goes.
It gives us a perfect picture, and that is what it tells us. So now we have understanding of this too, where the place where fallen angels are now. That is why believers don't need to be afraid of Satan and his demons. They are kind of in a place of, they have been, they all their movements are limited. They are in chains. Only God, when God permits, they work. That's why we said that when believers are in Christ, Satan and his demons cannot do anything to him. Their spirits are in prison. They are not free to do as they will or as they wish. But how sad this so-called the charismatic have made people to think, well, as if Satan controls the world. No, he's in chains. And then all his demons are in chains. They cannot do as they will. And they are waiting for the day of final destruction, where they'll be cast away from the presence of God with that eternal fire. They'll be destroyed forever. But at least, their current state tells us there's an intermediate state between this life and the life, final judgment. Okay, so the sinners, when they die, there is no happiness for them. They enter into torment immediately they die. So, how sad it is to die as a sinner. And you see how at everyone go to every funeral, may his soul rest in peace. May her soul rest in peace. How are they sure of that? We know that peace is for those who are in Christ. Peace is for only believers. But the Bible tells us sinners enter into torment immediately they die. It doesn't matter how they live, how prominent, how good and whatever they were in this world. If they didn't die in Christ as believers in him who have received a new birth, who have been brought into new life in Christ, by his death on the cross of Calvary, they enter into torment. How sad it is to think of those who will not come to Christ because their trouble begins immediately they die. It doesn't wait to the day of final judgment. It awaits them. The fire. And I don't know, this Jehovah's Witnesses and others, when they think of it, maybe it frightens them. So they say, oh, no, the Bible, they would beat about the words, hell means grave, hell means the pit, and that is all. Because we have learned the distinction of what goes to the grave is the body. And we have also known that the human beings, we are not just bodies, we have souls and bodies. So they cannot, lie, it's a lie for them to teach that way. So when they say that, then as when people die, that is it. That is all waiting for the day of final judgment. No. Even at death, there's a distinction. There's a place where the wicked will go. There's a place where, when we are saved in this world, the separation begins. There's nowhere our bodies will be mingled in the dust with everybody. But the soul, which is the person, the very individual, there's a separation. Because when we are saved, it's our soul that comes to this new life. Our bodies will be renewed when Christ comes at the day of resurrection. But the soul is renewed, and the soul moves on to perfection. At death, it is totally free from every sin, every misery. Because in life, we are still being perfected. So there are sins that surround us, and there are so many miseries here. But immediately a believer dies, his soul is perfect in the eyes of God, because he will not enter into misery and sin again. That's the picture. Okay. So we also look at the immediate entrance of the souls of believers into rest. The immediate entrance of the souls of believers into rest and happiness in the paradise of Christ immediately after death. Meaning, when believers come to die, they immediately enter into a happy place and a happy condition. And a comfortable place where it is called, we call it the paradise of Christ. And this we have it in Luke chapter 23. Let me read to you verse 39 to 43, then I'll come back. And here it's about when Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and this incident came about. From verse 39, and one of the malefactors, Christ was crucified with two other two people. Who were thieves and robbers. And one of the malefactors, which were hand railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So Christ promised to this dying sinner on the cross, who believed in him as a savior, paradise, a place that his soul was going to be immediately after that. Today, he didn't tell me that, well, in the day of resurrection, you'll be with me in paradise. He said, today. And this is just a literal words Christ spoke to this dying thief who believed on him. Because he has believed in Christ, he is dying. You see how the Bible teaches us. He has believed in Christ, he is dying, and this word of comfort should be given him. Because that is the word of comfort. Christ told his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them and he'll come and receive them. And he receives us at death when we die. He also receives us when we are alive, when he comes from heaven and we are alive. But at death, he receives us. So this believer in Christ on the cross has to receive this comfort. And today you'll be with me in paradise. So that immediately they die, while their bodies are being laid into the grave, this man will be with him in paradise. Not in the grave where Christ went his body was cast. So Jesus said unto him, Very, very, very I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The place, you know, in the parable of the rich sinner and Lazarus, Christ hinted that he called that place Abraham's bosom, where Lazarus went, which is a reference to the paradise he's promising this sinner here. He has referred to that already, but he may use the word that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. But here, he tells us a paradise where this person is coming to be with him. Well, we don't have so much details about this place. It's a blessed place. We don't have so much details about it. But from the parable, it is described as a place of comfort. In Luke 12:25, that is what we are told of the place of Lazarus. Luke 12:25. I think I've missed my verse. No, Luke 16, sorry. 16:25. Here was an interaction between the sinner in hell and Abraham. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So this paradise of Christ, it's a place of comfort. And we don't know how to, as even Apostle John tells us, we don't know how we shall be when Christ appears. So we don't know how even to describe the comfort there. But at least, there's no sin there. There's no misery. So comfort. You see, the man was in torment. The sinner was in torment. But we have this, that it's a place of comfort. And it is that all that we are, Abraham's tell us of that, is a place of comfort. Thou art comfort, that he's tormented and he is comforted from all his troubles, from all his pains, from all the troubles of life and sin. The dead in Christ are comforted from all these things. Okay, so in thinking further, we look up at this disembodied souls. These disembodied souls without their bodies lives in the realm of the spirit. Because we have spirit, the life of spirit, beings, spiritual beings. And so, as the place where their souls goes, meaning that they also live in the realm of the spirit. Nowadays, the charismatic will tell people the realms of the spirit. And it's interesting how they got the information, who told them. I mean, they are just like witchcraft and what do you call it? Wizards and all. No, when they talk of the realm of the spirit, they have nothing, they have no idea of. God, what the Bible tells us is what it's about spirituality. So this disembodied soul lives in the realm of the spirit. And as believers' souls go to be with Christ when they die, as the Bible tells us, as we have in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, these are the words of Apostle Paul, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, his soul. He's speaking about the soul coming to the Lord immediately we die. To be absent from the body will be buried, and to be present with the Lord. So, though the believer at death, his soul is disembodied, he doesn't have the body, but he goes to be with Christ when he dies. And what do? Definitely, because those, the angels and those who are with Christ, are employed in gracious and glorious activities. In the book of Revelation, we are given of the angels and the praises and the joy that they show with the Lamb that was slain, and singing and all that we are talking about. So definitely, the disembodied souls will also engage in the same activities. In the presence of the Lord, they will also do the same thing. Because though we are not told, the praise of these people, but definitely, so long as they are with Christ, this host of angelic hosts, and all that they do, they will be involved. Because it's the realm of spirits. The angels themselves are spirits, spiritual beings, so that the souls of those who have died will enter into this happy place, will join them. So God Christ told us, even when the body is joined to the soul and after the resurrection, it will be like a spiritual body. So they will be like angels. So the souls will definitely have the same employment in this state. So that when we think of those who have gone on before us, we think of how the angels are pictured as happy in glory in Revelation at that place, how the angels are a comfortable and happy people. That's how the departed souls of the saved are also, because they are with Christ and they are comforted. They are part of the host of God now. They are there enjoying with all those in the blessed glory. But then we have in Revelation 6:9, we have been given one thing that this some of the disembodied souls were doing, and a picture to us the thing that they may be doing. In Revelation 6 verse 9, we have this disembodied souls of Christian martyrs praying. In Revelation 6:9, we are told, here is it, and when he had opened it, this is the vision of Apostle John, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the sword of God, for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, how holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge thy blood on them that dwell on the earth? So here we see they are praying. This is yet a picture, a glimpse given to us. They were praying. And these were disembodied souls. These were not people with their bodies. We are told the souls of them that were slain. This was not after the resurrection. It is after. This is not before. After resurrection, it is before the resurrection. And we are told this, the vision John had of them, and the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Christians that are martyred, their souls are in the place where we have seen that they can engage in prayer. So here it represents to us this, that they are active beings, and they remember what happened when they were on earth. God, they are referring to what happened on earth. They are conscious, and they still remember what happened on earth. Not out of sorrow or whatever, but then they remember and they pray. And they also show how this holy activity that which they were in, which they engaged in when they were on earth. Believers pray and will always pray. And in heaven, their souls were praying. You see how prayer is one of the signs, and genuine sincere prayer, one of the signs of true convert. Those who are God's people always pray. Christ himself taught us when he was on earth, when he always prayed to the Father. You see, so these souls were praying. So that this confirms to us that the souls of the dead do not cease to exist. There's no cease to exist or cease to be conscious. As people say, they sleep, until the final resurrection, they are engaged in something. We are told they are happy. They are in a comforted place, like we see of Lazarus and this disembodied souls of these believers praying. And we also see as they go to Christ. They go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those that are with Christ, the angels, the host of heaven, they are all ever praising the Lord. They are rejoicing before the Lord. So this also, the host of believers will join in with this praise. And that will be the engagement of believers when finally the day of resurrection comes and we ourselves join up with them in heaven. We'll always rejoice before the Lord. And they have already begun this rejoice because they've gone on before. So it is a happy place. And that's why Apostle Paul will say that he wished rather to be present with the Lord than to live. Yes, and every believer should have that in his heart. Why? Because in that place, even before the final day of glory, there's no sin and misery. There's no trouble. There's no all the troubles we have in this world. And what place can be better than that? No sin and misery, no death, no pain, no fear, no illnesses, nothing. And this is the place of those who have gone on before, who are believers in Christ. They are blessed, and this is the duty they have engaged in. And then, and it shows how they still depend on the Lord. You see, even when they have died and they are in glory, they still pray. Prayer shows our dependence on the Lord. So that if I'm a believer here and I don't pray, how do I even show that I'm a genuine believer? Because those who have gone on in glory, who are not even in this body, are praying. And this is one of the things we see. So they are conscious and they are active. And this shows the immediate state of those who have departed from this life. So this is a blessing. And it's a glorious thing. And remember, Balaam said that he wished to die the death of the righteous. And that is how it is. The death of the righteous is glorious because immediately he dies, he goes to be with the Lord. But the death of the sinner, it's a misery because immediately he dies, he goes to be in torment. So this and other scriptures give us a picture to us what happens to souls that have departed out of this life. And that's what the Bible has for us. So may the Lord help us as we think about these things.